tonight as well. Now let's turn to Jonah, the book of Jonah and the chapter number 1. Jonah chapter 1, I want to read the chapter here. You'll find it among the minor prophets. You'll find Obadiah, you'll find Micah, and you'll find it in there and sandwiched in between those two little books, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. And so Jonah chapter 1, and let's read from the verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee on to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. We'll conclude our reading at the end of chapter number 1. Let's just please unite again in a word of prayer, please. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank thee, O God, that we can pray in this building. How encouraged we are to hear Jonah pray. Lord, as we go on into this chapter, and if God could hear prayer from the depths of the sea and from inside the belly of a great fish, then, dear God, we believe that you can hear our prayers tonight. And Lord, we pray for this service. Pray that it might take on eternal consequences. Pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak not only to those who listen to it tonight, but maybe others who'll listen to it at a future date. Thank thee for these means that thou dost give to us. We pray that thou wilt use it even to the saving of the soul. Now help the preacher in all of his need, and grant, Lord, a blessing as we meet around the scriptures. For we pray this, our prayer and prayers, in through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Tonight I want to speak specifically, and I want to speak personally to a specific grouping of people. A group that you might well belong to. Because tonight I want to address in this gospel meeting a group that is composed of individuals who, for whatever reason, are trying to run away from God. Now, running away from God is not something new. Running away from God is something that fallen mankind has done ever since man first sinned in the Garden of Eden. You'll be aware of that. When Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden at the cool of the day, having partaken of the forbidden fruit and thereby transgressed God's holy law, we're told in Genesis 3 in the verse 8 that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Ever since that fateful day in Eden's paradise and in humanity's history, mankind has been running away from God. To think that man, in his natural, sinful state, will seek after God of his own accord is to misunderstand mankind's true state. The psalmist tells us that there is no man that seeketh after God. That's just plain, simple language. There is none that seeketh after God. And in case you miss it by the psalmist, he repeats it twice in the Psalms. And then Paul takes up the same refrain, and he reminds us in Romans chapter 3 that there is none that seeketh after God. Isaiah speaks of sinners being like sheep going astray, and every man turning to his own way. Left to ourselves, sin's trajectory does not bring us closer to God, but rather it takes us further and further away from God. Now, I know that Jonah is God's prophet. I know that. But I believe his actions in Jonah chapter 1 resemble how many an ungodly person responds to God in the gospel. And that's really how we're going to consider Jonah tonight in this gospel service. And I want to preach a message that I've titled, "You Can Run, But You Cannot Hide." You can run, but you cannot hide. I have two simple points. I want you to consider in the first instance what Jonah ran from. What Jonah ran from. As Jonah rose up to flee on to Tarsus, there are a number of things that he attempted to run from in such a flight. Can I say in the first place that Jonah tried to run away from the Word of God? That's the first thing. He tried to run away from the Word of God. This is what we're told in the opening verses of the chapter. Look at them again. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go on to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee on to Tarsus." God's word, a word that was precise, a word that was personal, came directly to Jonah from the mouth of God, from which we are told Jonah fled. You know, that often happens when the sinner is confronted with God's word, especially whenever that word is delivered to the sinner through a spirit-anointed preacher. The sinner, on hearing the word of God, takes to their heels and is hardly ever seen again in a gospel-preaching church. You see, the reason why the sinner comes to run from the word of God is because the word of God confronts the sinner about their sin. God's word is described to be like a mirror. And whenever the sinner comes to look into the mirror of God's word, what they see is not what they want to see. No, they see themselves as a pretty good kind of person, pretty generous kind of person, pretty moral kind of person. But whenever they come to see themselves as they are pictured in the Word of God, the sight that they see is not what they want to see. God's Word reminds the sinner that the sinner is spiritually lost. The Word of God reminds the sinner that the sinner is unfit for heaven. The Word of God reminds the sinner that the sinner is on a war footing with God. The Word of God reminds a sinner that the sinner is far off from God. The Word of God reminds a sinner that they are unprepared for death. The Word of God reminds a sinner that they are without God and without hope in this world. God's Word makes it clear that the sinner cannot enter heaven in the same way in which they have entered this world. As a full-bred, full-blooded sinner. And that grates on the sinner. The Word of God makes it clear that the sinner can bring nothing to God that would appease his wrath. And again, that is something that offends the self-righteous sinner. And so whenever the sinner is confronted with the Word of God, they take to their heels and they run from the truth. Now some run into the world. That's where they run to. They hear the Word of God and they run into the world. They run into the world because the barman down the street is not going to tell that sinner that they're under the wrath and the condemnation of God. Don't you think that tonight in the Wild Duck that the barman behind the bar is telling his customers that they're under the wrath and under the condemnation of God? That's why the sinner runs into the world. Not only that, but they'll run. The bookie owner is not going to tell their customers that they are a rebel against God. And the drug dealer is not going to tell his clientele that if they die with a drug overdose, that they're going to end up in hell. And so the sinner finds friends who console them in their sin whenever they run into the world. They'll have many a friend. Maybe that's where you have ran to when you have been confronted with the claims of God and Christ and the gospel. Maybe you have turned to the academics and the scientists who say that there is no God. But such is only cold comfort. For well, sinner, you know there is a God. Others, they'll turn to their ungodly friends who have no qualms about living in sin. And so they'll encourage you to join them in their sinful pursuits and in their sinful career. But listen, sinner, you can run far into the world, but you cannot hide. God can follow you into the public bar. God's Word can follow you into the bookies. God's Word can follow you into the house parties. I remember my own brother's conversion. He tried to run away from God. He was a shop joiner. Found himself sitting one night, told you the story before. Found himself sitting one night in Dublin, St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre, if you've ever been down to Dublin. He was fitting out a shop that night and sat down just for a bit of a break. As he sat there and as he looked at the advertising board circling round and round, the Word of God, the Scriptures, came up before his very eyes and he came under conviction of sin. God followed him. God's Word followed him into this place of sin. Sinner, have you not found that to be the case? Everywhere you turn, that the Word of God just seems to be following you, a gospel text nailed to that telegraph pole. You've taken notice of it now, haven't you? That billboard, we were standing there just this afternoon, just there beside the telegraph or the telephone box, and some grouping of individuals, I believe it's the Brethren, the Gospel Hall, they've taken out advertising campaigns, man's problem, sin and the remedy for sin, the cross and the work of Jesus Christ. And maybe you've noticed that in recent days. Maybe you passed it by before, but now you're taking notice. And maybe some individuals handed you a gospel tract, or maybe memory has been jogged. Maybe the memory jogged with some scripture in the most bizarre of places. You haven't even been thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, a little text of Scripture comes in before your mind, maybe this week. God, having seared the word preached at the harvest weekend, maybe it came up before you, be sure. Your sin will find you out. You maybe weren't even thinking about it. You're maybe playing with your game console. You're maybe just driving out in the car. And there all of a sudden, God used his word. It seems to be that the word of God is pursuing you. You're trying to run away from God's word. Thank God it's a living word. The living word is something that you cannot run from. And so people, they'll run right into the world. And others, as they run from the word of God, they'll not go as far as running into the world. But they'll run to a church where the presentation of the gospel is not as strong as it is in places like this. Such people become pew warmers in churches where hell, and the cross, and the blood of Christ, and repentance from sin, and the day of judgment are never, never drawn to the attention of the congregation. You see, such a ministry is more suited for a person who's running away from God's word, because they don't preach it. They don't herald it. They don't open the book. They don't preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not warn the sinner of their neglect of God's salvation. And what will occur if the sinner dies in their sin? Such a ministry is suited for such an individual because it doesn't make them uncomfortable as hellfire preaching that you get in Bible-believing churches. Such people, they leave such places of worship never disturbed, never troubled, never convicted, never having a feeling of shame or guilt over their sin. And maybe I'm speaking about you. Maybe you as an individual, maybe you've been attending elsewhere in recent days, where the preaching just isn't as convicting. The preacher's more winsome. His delivery is not as personal and as probing as it is from this preacher. The atmosphere of such a place is more chilled out. More chilled out. And really, such a church is more suited for your liking. Let me say, sinner, I'd rather be faithful to your never-dying soul and make the preaching as uncomfortable as a human being can make it than for you to end up in hell. Go to another church then. Go to it. But never, never, never blame this preacher that he never warned you about the Savior. Go to another church that fails to preach the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but don't blame me whenever you lift your eyes up in hell. Don't blame this preacher. That's what happens. People run away. They run away from God's word. And so they think themselves, well, I'll not just run away completely. I'll go to another church. I'll go to another assembly. And I'll put on the performance of religiosity. But I'll tell you, you'll damn your soul if they preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he runs from the will of God. In the second place, Jonah tried to run away from the will of God. Notice that the will of God was revealed to Jonah through the medium of God's word. Now the word of the Lord came on to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, and now here's the word, here's the will. What is God's will? Arise, go on to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now there's a lesson there. Always measure with what you believe is God's will for your life against the word of God. The word of God came and then he reveals. In the word of God comes and then the will of God comes. Always measure what you believe God's will is for your life against the word of God. Now, God's will for Jonah was for him to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Now, Jonah did the first part of it. Did you notice it? He did arise. Tells us that. Look there at the verse number 3. But Jonah rose up. But it wasn't in Nineveh that he went to. Rather, he arose to flee on to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Do you know what Jonah did here? In very simple terms, Jonah promoted his will above God's will. He says, no, not God's will for me, but my will is going to usurp God's will. It's going to take precedence over God's will. And that's what sinners do. Their will usurps God's will. Now, sinner, what is God's will for you? Well, his will for you is very simple. His will for you tonight is to repent and believe the gospel. That's his will. We're reminded in the word of God that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But what have you done? You have rejected his will, and instead you're living your life as you want to please and as you please. Did you know that Jesus Christ said, only those who do the will of God will be in heaven? Matthew 7, verse 21, the Savior said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So let me ask you, how is it with you and the will of God? As a sinner, are you running away from God's will? What makes you think that in doing your own will, it's going to be better than for you to do God's will? How has doing your own will, how has it been going for you, sinner? I want to ask you that. How's it been going? Have you found what you're looking for inwardly? Have you found the pardoning of sin? Have you found peace with God? Have you found lasting joy? Have you found purpose to life? Have you found the assurance that you've been looking for, albeit subconsciously? I say, until your will is lost in God's will, until you stop running after your own will and instead do God's will, you can forget about heaven. Forget about it. I wonder tonight, would you say, as a sinner, Lord, tonight, no longer my will, but thine be done. Would you say to God, and I use crash terms here, simple terms, would you say to God tonight, you know, God, I am making an absolute hash of my life. Tonight I just surrender to your will. Can I say that God's will is sweet? It's perfect, it's acceptable, and it's good. Stop running from God's will, sinner. His will to have you to believe. Don't run from his will, but rather yield to his will. You'll never regret it. Ask any Christian, you'll never regret it. There's a third thing that Jonah tries to run from. Look there at the words of the verse number 3. Because there we come to understand that Jonah, he attempts to run away from the presence of the Lord. But Jonah rose up, it says, to flee on to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Now, we read that verse, or we read that statement from the presence of the Lord. He tries to run away from the presence of the Lord. Verse number 10, there is a repetition of that statement. Now we read concerning the ship crew. It says, then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing what people talk about outside a church setting? Isn't it amazing what ungodly people talk about away from other Christians? Isn't it amazing what even a backslider will talk about to unsaved people? He told them that he was fleeing from the presence of God. It's amazing the conversations that take place in this province. You know, Christians, they think, well, nobody talks about God. I was with a couple last year, come to faith in Jesus Christ, and we're just talking about their conversion and about how they came to faith in the Savior. And I was amazed to hear that almost on a daily basis, a group of individuals working in the same working environment, that the subject of God and the gospel came up on an almost daily basis in that particular workplace. And here's Jonah talking with ungodly men, and he's told them about the presence of the Lord. Well, he tries to run from God's presence. The words literally mean here, being from being before the Lord. Now, Jonah was well schooled in the scriptures. We come to see that whenever he comes to pray in the belly of the fish. Because if you notice his prayer, you'll read that he takes from the book of Psalms certain statements and he prays them to God. So he's very scriptural in his praying. And there's many truth and an application we could make. For example, he quotes from Psalm 42 in the verse 7. So Jonah is acquainted with the scriptures and he's acquainted with the Psalter, the book of Psalms. Because he was acquainted with the Psalter, with the book of Psalms, Jonah knew full well that he could not flee from God's presence. For he would have well known Psalm 139, the verses 7 to 9. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. He would be reminded that there was nowhere in the world that a person can flee from God's presence. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24, God declares, Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. It's futile. It's pointless to try and run from the presence of the one who fills heaven and earth. Where can someone run and hide from the omnipresent God? There's none, and there's nowhere. Don't you be thinking that just because you stop coming to God's house, that you're going to find yourself away from the presence of the Lord. God is able to find you in the milking parlor. God is able to find you in a bar, on the dance floor, in a car full of your friends, as he is in this meeting house. Just because you physically remove yourself from God's house, and just because you take yourself as far away from being under the influence of God's word, does not mean that you'll escape God, because you won't. If there's someone here tonight and your intention is to run away from God, I pray that God will meet you and that he in turn will turn your life around and capture your soul by his grace. What Jonah ran from, very quickly, what Jonah ran into. Now, as Jonah tried to run away from God, Jonah seemed initially to run into favorable circumstances. Watch how everything seems to just fall into place as Jonah runs away from God. Those favorable circumstances, I believe, would have suggested to Jonah's mind that God is in this. God must be in this. But how wrong Jonah was in his thinking. We read in verse 3 that Jonah rose up to flee on to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarsus. Isn't that amazing? So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Waiting at the docks of Joppa that day was a ship, but not any old ship, going to any old destination. This ship was headed for Tarshish, the very place that he had determined to go. What a coincidence. What good luck for Jonah. It just seems to be now falling into place. But not only that, but whenever he headed for that ship, he found that the passenger quota had not reached its limit. And so there was room for him in the boat. They hadn't reached capacity. There's room for good old Jonah. Come aboard, Jonah. There's plenty of space for you. It's all falling into place. And whenever he was told how much the journey would cost, could you believe it? But he had the very exact money in the pocket to pay the fare thereof. This must be of God. God's got it wrong. He's got it all wrong. He spoke to me, but I believe that I need to go to Tarshish. And it's all falling into place. Everything just seemed to be falling into its proper place. But folks, the truth is, any time we run away from the Word of God and the will of God and the presence of God, you can be sure that the devil will have a ship waiting for you to take you as far from God as you could possibly go. Maybe you're about to step onto such a boat. Could I encourage you to be a little more discerning than you presently are? Could I ask you to think about what you're about to do? While conditions might seem to be accommodating, the course that you're intending to take will have devastating consequences for you. Be wary when it seems that everything is falling into place as you try to run away from God. Be wary when it seems just to be all plain sailing, because the storm is yet to break. The favorable circumstances. The second thing that Jonah ran into as he ran from God was a financial cost. When Jonah found the ship going to Tarshish, we're told that he paid the fare thereof. This was no free ride or sailing for Jonah. There was a price to pay in financial terms. And more importantly, in spiritual terms, Jonah came to learn the lesson that disobedience to God is expensive. But the fare Jonah paid was only the first installment. This was not first and final installment. Some of you know that whenever you're paying for holidays, they want the deposit, £60 deposit. And then you get your eyes opened as you near the holiday. The big installment still has to be paid. Well, Jonah's paying off the fare, it's just like the £60 deposit. Was small compared to the final installment that he still had to make. How true the words, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Sin has its financial cost. Of course it does. Ask the bankrupt gambler. Ask the addicted drug user, the drinker, the smoker, who empty their pockets in order to buy the substance of their choice. Whether that's a drug, whether that's a fag, whether that's a drink, ask them. The book of Proverbs tells me that he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. But the financial cost is just the first installment. The emotional cost, the health cost, the mental cost, the domestic cost, the spiritual cost, that all has to be paid when you run away from God. Have you sat down and counted the cost? I don't think you have. I don't think you have. So let me encourage you to do that before you take a one step further away from God, because the price that you'll pay is greater than you can imagine. Jonah ran into something else, and I'll apologize before I give you the statement. I was just trying to keep them F's and C's. The ferocious climatic conditions. I apologize. After some plain sailing, we're told in verse 4 that the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. The storm was unlike any other storm that these rough sailors had ever experienced in their life. Such was the ferocity that the terrified crew, they actually started to pray to their gods. You know, it takes a lot to get a rough sailor to pray. But that's what verse 5 tells us. They started to pray. You know, when the pathway of sin is chosen by the sinner, the storm breaks. The storms that they have to come to face as a fallout of their sin are immense. Unplanned pregnancies, shattered marriages, broken homes, severed families, health complications, mental anguish. Now thank God, God can turn many of these things around. He can. And He can do it for His glory. But oh, the heartache and the guilt and the shame still leave their indelible marks on a life that could have otherwise avoided if the road of sin was not first traveled. If only, friend, you could see what lies ahead of you. If you persist on in your sin, you would immediately forsake your sin and fly to Christ for mercy. But sadly for some, for you, it's going to be the hard way. The hard way is going to be the only way that you're going to learn that God's way was the best way. I'm trying to save you a lot of trouble, but you will not listen. I could say something about the faithless crewmen that became faith-filled crewmen that Jonah ran into, because that's what he ran into. Men changed by the grace of God. Here's men, they're praying to their gods. But look what it says in verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord, Jehovah, exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. That's what Jonah eventually ran into. He ran into individuals who were converted, saved by the grace of God. But let me close out with one final point. You know what Jonah found himself running into? And this is wonderful. He found himself, as he ran away from God, he found himself actually running into a forgiving, compassionate God. Into the depths of the sea, God took Jonah, hurled there by the ship's crew, and yet God sends a great fish to swallow him up. If it had been us, we would have let him drown. But you see, folks, it's not us. It's the God of heaven. And the God of heaven is a God who forgives. And He's a God who is a God of compassion. And Jonah runs into that God. From the cavernous belly of the great fish, Jonah prays. And as he prays, he comes to find out that God, God who is full of compassion, was ready and willing and ready to forgive him when he acknowledged his sin And I know that because Jonah comes to acknowledge this later on in the chapter. We spoke about it on one of our gospel services. Jonah chapter 4, he says this concerning God. In the verse number 2, he says, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. How ironic. The man who himself experienced God's mercy and kindness did not want others to experience it. How ironic. You know, sinner, you run from God. But while you live in this world, thank God you may run into him who is full of mercy and full of compassion. A God who is willing to forgive you of your particular sin. You will find that God, whose compassion knows no bounds, is ready to forgive you when you, like Jonah, would but turn from your sin. Why not find that out tonight? Why not find it out just now? Why not stop running from God and instead tonight run to him? Run to him. When you do, you'll find yourself running into the arms of a compassionate and forgiving God. Are you running away from God? Sinner, you can run, but you can't hide. There's coming a day when God will bring you into judgment. Before that day breaks, make sure you savingly know Jesus Christ. Make sure you're reconciled to God. Make sure that your sins are forgiven. Make sure you have peace with God, because you may run, and the tragedy of it is that you may run yourself into hell. May God stop you before that day. May God bring you to himself. If you need to speak with someone about this matter, I'll be at the door. I'll go to the door. I'll not shake hands, but I'll go to the door. Always the second last to leave. The caretaker being the last. Avail yourself of the opportunity. Speak to myself. Speak to some other trusted Christian. Oh, tonight, run. Run to the Savior. Run to him, and he'll meet you. He'll meet you. May God bring you to himself tonight for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Again, I say to you, if you need help on a spiritual level, then please speak to us at the door. If you want to go out and come back in again, you do that. We'll help you as much as we can. Oh God, our loving Father, we pray for those who are running away from thee. We pray that in their attempts to do that, that they'll run right into thee. Put up the barriers, oh God, we pray. We pray, oh God, that thou wilt cause the sinner to run into the arms of God. May tonight they come to this cross, to his blood, to the sacrifice. And may tonight they find mercy. May they find grace in believing. And so part us with thy blessing and in thy fear. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be upon all those who know the Savior until the days break and all shadows will flee away. We offer prayer through the Savior's precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you.